Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
And what a night it is. Welcome, everyone, to another live installment of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards, coming to you live tonight, as I do every Saturday night, from the studios of AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, broadcasting to our AM-FM affiliate stations, courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network, and simulcasting online at our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's Saturday evening, September 4th, and joining me in studio tonight for the first hour, as is his custom, Keith Alexander.
Good evening. I tell you, this is a great evening, the first Saturday of college football season, although it's kind of a bittersweet experience for me because I've just been listening to the Ole Miss Jacksonville State game, and of course they picked Jacksonville State as Ole Miss's opponent because I thought they'd be a patsy. They're now tied 34-34 going into overtime. They had a 31-10 lead, but then they decided they had to start this black quarterback that they had transfer in over NCAA initial objections. They finally got him into play, and the white quarterback they had going before threw two touchdown passes, had everything working like a Swiss watch, and now the wheels have fallen off the cart. You know, it's just I look at this thing, and you know, you just shake your head. You know, some people never learn, James.
Well, at Ole Miss, they never learn. Of course, we've covered some of the unfortunate transgressions committed against our people by the university administration down there at Ole Miss, led, of course, by the Toohey family. The Confederate genocide continues unabated down there, and I'll tell you, a lot of them, Bill Rowland called them rug merchants, I think, down there. But and of course, that was a university founded by Confederate generals. But nevertheless, that's not what we're here to talk about, although we could talk about college football a little later on this hour. It is September 4th, and I tell you what, stepping outside the door this morning, I felt as if I was stepping into an oasis. It's been the most brutally hot summer in the recorded history of Memphis, and I'm sure it's been that way throughout most of the South. It's been unbearably hot, oppressively humid, about 105 degrees every day, 100% humidity. And I walk out today and it's crisp, it's cool, it topped out at about 80 degrees today. I felt like a rutting bull, Keith. It took the family to the zoo and got a bunch of pictures with my wife and our baby next to all the animals. We were giving those animals hell at the zoo today and had a good time doing it, enjoying the weather. And so we're going to give the liberals hell tonight and continue to frolic all of this good fortune that we find ourselves in as fall is coming. Love fall. I love the changing seasons. I love winter. I would much rather be cold than hot, I'll tell you this. Native-born Southerner, I've never gotten used to the summers. I hate the summers. But looking forward to fall. It's a special time of year for me anyway, my family at least. My dad's birthday is September 7th. My brother's birthday is September 6th. You got Labor Day weekend, which is, of course, a white holiday, I guess, technically anyway. And so it's a lot of fun stuff, and it is a holiday weekend. So we're going to have kind of a, not a lax show tonight, but we're going to kind of, you know, rather than wearing our suits and ties into the studio tonight, we kind of came in our jogging pants tonight. It's, you know, we're going to be laid back. We're still going to address some hard-hitting issues, and you're going to hear from most of the hosting staff tonight. Bill Rowland will be on during the second hour. Winston Smith, batting cleanup, coming on the third hour. Eddie the Bombardier Miller has the night off, but everybody else is on deck for this Labor Day show, and we're quite excited about it. And to kick it off, we're going to kick it off in grand fashion. Last week, of course, a week ago tonight, in fact, Glenn Beck was having that big 828 rally. And at the time, we had not yet seen a lot of the footage from it because, of course, we were here doing the show. But I had a chance to review some of that on Sunday, and I pinned a magnum opus for the website entitled The Glenn Beck 828 Rally, The Death Rattle of Mainstream Conservatism. And this, Keith, was an article that absolutely went viral throughout the paleoconservative right. It was reposted to some of the movement's most prominent websites, including the Occidental Quarterly, Alternative Right, American Renaissance, Council of Conservative Citizens, Western Voices World News, American Nationalist Union, and many more. Pat Buchanan came out with a very similar commentary about a day later. And it's just, you know, if you go to our blog, and this is something I encourage you to do, go to the blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org, browse all the great columns and articles that are pinned there, and leave your comment at the bottom of each blog posting. Let us know how you feel about it, and that's exactly what you've been doing on my entry about Glenn Beck. 58 comments, and if you know anything about internet blogging and commenting, Keith, as I know you do, just a very, very minuscule fraction of those who actually read the articles take the time to comment. We had 58 comments, a ton of traffic this week pointing into the political cesspool. It's really just the cherry on top of the cake on what has been an incredibly active summer for our program. We're going to talk a little bit more about that with Bill Rowland during the second hour when we kind of do our Labor Day review of our summer exploits here on the show. But getting back to that Glenn Beck review, and we talked about this for the bulk of the program last week, but we're going to pick up at the top of the show tonight with some final commentary on it. Keith, anything that you failed to bring to the audience's attention last week on this matter that you'd like to convey tonight?
Yes, I would. The reaction to your blog entry, the August 30th blog entry, Glenn Beck 828 rally, the death rattle of mainstream conservative, was right on point, and the public recognize that. Out of those 58 comments, I don't think there's more than one or two that is negative. Everybody is basically singing from the same hymn book on this. We realize that Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin and numerous other people that were trotted up to the podium are phony conservatives, and phony conservatism is more deadly than virulent liberalism to the true conservative movement. Glenn Beck just, and Sarah Palin, you don't know where to begin when you start trying to figure out how they've got it wrong, but the biggest thing they've got wrong is that they give a pass to the civil rights movement and its personification, Martin Luther King. They worship at the shrine. I mean, literally worship at the shrine. He's got holes in the knees of his pants. He was talking about how he wasn't worthy, you know, to kiss the hem of Martin Luther King's underwear or something
Glenn
at some
Beck,
point.
Of
yeah,
course he
right,
was talking
yeah,
about.
Right, yeah. In his presentation, and Sarah Palin was saying that how she thought that Martin Luther King would be so proud of this rally. No, he wouldn't. He would have been utterly opposed to it because he was a socialist and a Marxist. See, if you refuse to recognize the civil rights movement as just another radical egalitarian movement whose clandestine purpose was to undermine Western civilization, then you have given the moral high ground to liberals, and from that moral high ground, they will continue to rain shot and shell down on the conservative movement, and you'll never win. You have given them, basically, you have proven that they are righteous. You know, they were righteous, and conservatives are just these haters that were trying to keep black folks down in the civil rights movement, when actually the civil rights movement was a intentional move by the cultural Marxists. They had decided among themselves that they needed to replace the white working class as the proletariat, the spear point of the revolution in the cultural Marxist revolution. Who was that going to be? They came up with four primary candidates: blacks, criminals, women, and homosexuals. They came up with them because they were looking for people that had a built-in grievance against white establishment society. Trotsky was one of the early people who said that we're going to have to reconfigure our communist revolution in terms of race, because colored people outnumber white people in the world, even back then in the 1930s when he came up with this. And then he said that all of these non-white people have a chip on their shoulder or a grudge against white people because they've either been dominated economically or they've been defeated militarily by whites, and that grievance can be turned into what he called revolutionary zeal. That's exactly what they've done. And the civil rights movement, you know, they used their strongest trump card first, got their beachhead, and if it were not for the success of the civil rights movement, we wouldn't be talking today about homosexual rights or homosexual marriage. There would never have been a Roe versus Wade, Doe versus Bolton decision on abortion. There would never have been radical feminism. There never would have been radical environmentalism. There would never would have been the criminal rights revolution. All of that stuff flowed from the victory in the civil rights movement. And if you refuse to call out the civil rights movement, liberalism is victorious and conservatism is cooked.
The precedents that were set there by the judicial, the rulings of judicial review, the legislating that came from the bench, definitely paved the way for all of those radical movements that followed. We're going to pick up on that when we return to the Political Cesspool this Labor Day weekend, right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. I hope you're having a great start to your Labor Day weekend. If you're traveling, I wish you safe travels. If you're at home grilling out, listening to us on the radio or in your car, welcome once again to the program tonight. We're just getting things started this evening with Keith Alexander and yours truly, James Edwards. Of course, as we mentioned just a moment ago, we spent the bulk of last week's show talking about the Glenn Beck rally, which was actually happening simultaneously with our broadcast, or at least it was wrapping up as we were going on air, and some of the things that were spawned from that. I was so motivated by the great show we had last week, I put pen to paper or keyboard to internet, I guess would be more accurate, fingers to keyboard, and hammered out an article that just went absolutely everywhere, bringing thousands upon thousands of new readers to our website, continuing to solidify the Political Cesspool as the premier voice of paleoconservative European Americans. And I'm going to share a little bit of that article with you. I know it's been very widely spread, and if you're tuning into the show tonight, you've probably already seen it if you visited our website within the last week. But I'm not going to read it all, but just a couple of highlights, and then toss it back over to Keith before we move on to other matters tonight, other pressing affairs of state. But from that very celebrated Death Rattle of Mainstream Conservatism article, I write this. Glenn Beck's big rally at the Lincoln Memorial a couple of days ago was the talk of the news, the media, and the internet. Liberals are denouncing it, conservatives are walking on air, and tens of millions of people are left completely mystified. And with good reason. If Seinfeld was a show about nothing, this massive gathering was a rally about nothing. While it may have looked impressive, in reality it shows just how impotent and adrift the mainstream conservative movement has become. Nobody's really sure what it's even about. Beck, who is only famous because he spends hours a day ranting about politics, says it had nothing to do with politics, even though Sarah Palin was the keynote speaker. It was about restoring honor or something, whatever that's supposed to mean. Or it was a way of supporting the troops, depending on which day you actually listened to Beck. Then it turned into a rally to reclaim the civil rights movement and give it back to the people who Beck swears pioneered the civil rights movement. Right-wing conservatives. Yes, that's actually what Beck claims to believe. Leave it to Glenn Beck to make white-hating black columnist Leonard Pitts look sane and reasonable. It also has something to do with honoring all those unsung heroes of the American Revolution and our numerous black founding fathers whose existence, until Glenn Beck came along to set the record straight, has actually been covered up by liberals who are trying to divide us by race. Yes, Beck actually says this too. And Palin? Well, she was asked after her speech what Martin Luther King would have thought of the rally. It was a great opportunity for her to tell us like it is for all of America to hear. But did she say anything truthful? Of course not. Instead, she started talking about how she could feel MLK's spirit in this place and that how he had turned those steps in front of the Lincoln Memorial, one of the biggest traitors in American history, by the way, into sacred ground, and that the rally was all about equality. And of course, none of this idiotic pandering did anything to convince liberals and non-whites that Beck, Palin, and the hundreds of thousands of white people who gathered at that rally are anything but despicable racists and Nazis. At the end of the day, the only marching orders that were given, Keith, to the 200,000 people that were gathered there were Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck implored them to turn back to the gods of America's Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, Mormon, Voodoo, Sikh, Zoroastrian heritage. He told them to get back to their synagogues and mosques and get back to work on refounding America. Well, you know, interestingly enough, I talked about, and there's more to that article, by the way. I strongly encourage you to read it, ladies and gentlemen, for yourself at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Comment to it. Let us know what you think about it. That was the gist of it, though. And as I said, it instantly spread like wildfire to some of the leading paleoconservative websites on the Internet. It gained so much interest that a reporter from CNN called me 2 days ago, and I did an hour-long interview with CNN about this very article. And, of course, I covered many of the same things with the CNN reporter that I'm sharing with you tonight and that I shared with you last week and that I wrote on the website. But what I said was, you know, you had 300,000 white people there who are expressing their heritage implicitly. In other words, they are implicitly pro-white, whereas they need to be explicitly pro-white. I think that they have, they're very much akin to a powder keg or a tinderbox that is just ready to be set aflame and, led in the right direction. They want representation and deserve representation, just as every minority group, including homosexuals now, who pretend to be the latest oppressed minority class. You know, white people want leadership and spokesmen and representation and organizations that advance their interests, just like the minorities have. They don't have it anywhere because the hypocritical standards of political correctness deny white people from having leaders and spokesmen. But they're looking for it, and they're so desperate for it, they show up to Washington, D.C., and this is the best that they can get. Glenn Beck saying to honor the Muslim and voodoo heritage of America, go back to your synagogue and mosque and, you know, pray to your God, whoever it is. Sarah Palin worshiping Martin Luther King. This is the best they've got. That is, you know, actually it's the worst they've got, but this is what they think is the best they've got. If they actually came here, they would find true leadership. It's very, very sad, but they're there. They're there, ladies and gentlemen. You know, our people are out there. I think the majority of those people there fundamentally agree with what you hear on this radio program on a nightly basis. And when it finally sinks in with conservatives, and that might be sooner than we think, things are going to start to get interesting. They need to understand that they're going to continue to be called, falsely called Nazis because they dare be proud of their heritage. You know, if they ever figure out what we figured out here, what you figured out as you listen to us, things are going to get interesting, and we stand here ready to lead. Keith?
Well, if this is all that the Tea Party has to offer, this is pretty weak tea is all I've got to say, James. You've got to be able to basically claim a position and be consistent. You know, everybody that has any sense knows that saying that conservatives supported the civil rights movement and were really the behind-the-scenes movers and shakers for it, that is a palpable and transparent lie. Conservatives fought it, and they fought it with good reason because it was just another misbegotten, radical egalitarian movement, just like homosexual rights, just like abortion rights, just like radical feminism, just like radical environmentalism, just like the sexual revolution and the drug culture. They're all of a piece, and none of these was the brainchild of the John Birch Society. They all came from liberalism. Why do they run from conservatism? They have apparently been conditioned like Pavlovian dogs. You know, they start cringing and whining before you even raise a newspaper to hit them nowadays, and they start trying to claim themselves as, you know, great supporters of the civil rights movement, and they show this support by absolutely bowing down and worshiping at the shrine of Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was not a hero. He was a villain. He was actually the Rasputin of the civil rights movement. Like Rasputin, he was a lecher. He was a womanizer. He was an adulterer that abused women physically. And besides that, he even took Rasputin further down the road to evil. He was a communist sympathizer and a plagiarist. Now, I've got news for Glenn Beck and for Sarah Palin. Moral exemplars and moral paragons don't need to have their FBI files sealed for 50 years by a federal judge. If that information got out, everybody would know what a reprobate Martin Luther King was. And, you know, garbage in, garbage out, he was as bad as conservatives said he was. And if you're going to worship somebody like that, then you basically just need to give up any pretense at being an honest movement.
We're going to let Keith Alexander take it from the top when we come back with our next segment, immediately following these words from our sponsors.
Don't
stay tuned.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
What, everybody? Welcome back. James Edwards, Keith Alexander on deck for this, our first hour of tonight's live installment of the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday evening, September 4th, holiday weekend. Happy Labor Day, everybody. We were talking the first couple of segments tonight, recapping our commentary that began last week on the show of the Glenn Beck 828 rally. And as I said a moment ago, I firmly believe, and I made this known to the reporter from CNN earlier this week, that I do think that fundamentally the majority of the people there fundamentally agree with much of what we espouse here on this show. Because what we espouse on this show is basically just... quite simply, we call it paleoconservatism, which means old. It's the opposite of neoconservatism, which is the modern-day liberal orthodoxy that passes for mainstream conservatism. But basically, here in the political cesspool, if you want to just cut it down to the bare bones, we are traditional conservatives. Traditional conservatives that believe what our ancestors believed in. And so, therefore, I do believe that most of the people there fundamentally agree with us. But they're weak, you know, they're weak, and they haven't quite got it figured out. They need leadership, and they're desperate for leadership, and that's why they'll latch on to anything that appears to be leadership. Unfortunately, Glenn Beck isn't it, for many reasons. However, there are some people there who have been so brainwashed by multiculturalism and by the false gods of political correctness that they've lost the battle before they ever even stepped foot onto the field. And what I'm talking about specifically, and you can find this blog posting also at our website, you got these guys here. By all accounts, they look like typical middle class, working class taxpayers. They look like everyday Joes. Yet here they are, posing for pictures with black guys, holding up signs that ask, "Do we look racist?" And as I wrote, anytime you have 500,000 people show up for an event, you're going to have people show up to make money, selling them things that they want or need. Drinks, sandwiches, ice cream, shirts, books, bumper stickers, so on and so forth. And why not? It's the American way. But it looks like we found an enterprising black man, Keith, who had a popular concession going at the Glenn Beck I Love Martin Luther King Day in D.C., and I've got these pictures here, and you see the black guy with his fanny pack on, and he's got a sign that he lets white people hold to prove to everyone that they're not racist. It says, "Do we look racist?" And they're hugging this black guy, and then they can put it on their Facebook or whatever, and this is going to stop the liberal attacks. They'll never be called racist again, right, Keith, as long as they can just, hug this guy and hold this picture. So, you know, anyway, what can you say about these guys that I haven't already said, Keith? I mean, you know, like I said, that they're so far gone that they're actually doing more harm than good by even showing up.
They've lost their immune system, James. I guess that would be probably the best way to put it. They have been subjected to so much Pavlovian psychological conditioning that right now they're, you know, that they are afraid to call themselves white, afraid to stand up for themselves, for their values. They are totally intimidated by the civil rights movement and the race hustling agenda that it put into play. And That's why conservatives need to own their back up. They need to own their heritage as being the people who opposed the civil rights movement, because the civil rights movement was just another radical egalitarian movement with a clandestine purpose of destroying Western civilization. And it is still that to this day. Its personification is Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was not a hero. He was a villain. In fact, he was a villain to such an extent that it was necessary for the left, when they were trying back in the 80s to get Martin Luther King Day made a national holiday, they went to a federal judge, and the federal judge sealed his FBI record for 50 years. We're about 25 years out now, I guess, or maybe even less than that. Maybe, I think it's more like 17 years away from the date when it's supposed to be open. But when that date comes, I bet we'll discover that, whoops, it disappeared somehow, you know, by magic. Because if the information that was in that FBI surveillance file was known about Martin Luther King, there's no way that anybody that claimed to be a God-fearing American who has any sense of religion at all could support lionizing this man. What we're doing with the civil rights movement is, you know, as long as we take the position that the civil rights movement was righteous, it was an exception, that we've got to carve out something for that, like Glenn Beck, like Sarah Palin, like these people do, then you've basically handed over the moral high ground to the liberals, and they will beat you with it like a barred mule. And that's why conservatism can never get up off the canvas. As soon as we get up, we get decked by the left, because they say, you're just one of those evil conservatives that was interested in keeping black people down. You're a despicable hater. And they say, oh, I have sinned, I have sinned, like Jimmy Swaggart on TV, you know, when he was caught in the motel room with the prostitute. You can't, and let me show you how that works, for example. A lot of Christian conservatives, religious conservatives, are up in arms about the federal judge in California who basically overturned the results of a public initiative and referendum movement called Proposition 8, where they went to liberal California and put it up to the voters, do you approve of and should we authorize and legalize gay marriage? Even in liberal California, they said no. And they're starting to speak out about the arrogance of this judicial review regimen that we have in America, which allows federal judges to come in and totally defy the will of the public and say that the will of the public as expressed through an initiative in referendum or expressed in a congressional law or a local or state law, be damned. It somehow infringes upon the constitutional rights of some minority group. Well, unfortunately, when they do this, some liberal will bring up, nay, nay, you forget. You know, segregated schools were once very popular, too, and the only way that America could move beyond racially segregated schools was through the power of judicial review. They couldn't get anything passed in Congress. They couldn't get anything passed through an initiative and referendum. They had to go to the court. So if you are taking, if you're calling out, for example, the power of judicial review by this judge in California on the Proposition 8 question, the homosexual marriage question, then they point out, and rightfully so, you're also calling out the process by which Brown versus Board of Education became the law of the land in America. And of course, every good Christian conservative, every good mainstream conservative knows that Brown versus Board of Education is the holy of holies. You know, you've got to bow down and worship at that shrine along with Martin Luther King. So consequently, they've just stuffed a sock in the mouth of conservatism. Unless conservatives can get consistent and get truthful and say, yes, it was bad in Proposition 8, and it was equally bad in Brown versus Board of Education. It was totally unwarranted, and it was an act of tyranny. Until you can do that, James, you're never going to make any get any traction, and liberals will continue to win. In fact, you know, basically, they've gone from victory to victory since 1954 in the Brown decision. Every important, there's been no movement back to the right. It's been the cultural center of gravity has just moved relentlessly to the left because we've got people like Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck as our supposed self-anointed leaders telling us that we've got to concede the righteousness of the civil rights movement, Brown versus Board of Education, and Martin Luther King.
Keith, when you hit the nail, you drive it straight, buddy, as you say. And, you know, folks, I realize that sometimes on this show, on certain topics and subjects, we repeat ourselves. And there's good reason for that. You want to know what it is? Because we're the only show that's telling you the truth on these matters, that's speaking to you with a degree of clarity and a degree of candor and consistency. And, you know, the neoconservative party line, the cultural Marxist party line, which are really one and the same for all intents and purposes, they've got hundreds of shows that give you their perspective and their point of view. Unfortunately, on mainstream radio, on mainstream broadcast radio, we only have one show that really speaks out frankly about issues of a racial animus, and we're that show, and that's why we need your support. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. We've got a fall fundraising drive going on right now. Great incentives. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Okay, friends, welcome back. As I was saying right before that last commercial break, the reason you tune into this radio program is because we're one of a kind. And we have had just an incredibly successful and high-profile summer. You know, we're very used to media attention here. Over the course of the last 6 years, we have become a fixture in some of the biggest newspapers in the world who cover our work and broadcast, you know, nationally syndicated television, you name it. But this summer has just been the spotlight has been absolutely affixed to the Political Cesspool, and you, ladies and gentlemen, are the reason for that success. And as I mentioned, in order to keep the momentum going, we ask that you participate in our fall fundraising drive. You know, these quarterly fundraising drives that we do are absolutely vital to the continued growth and development of our work. And we ask you to go check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We've got a great incentive there to help motivate you to donate. And, of course, all the proceeds from those donations keep this keeping the show on the air. Keith, you were talking about obviously a wide variety of subjects there pertaining to, stemming from the Glenn Beck rally. And I'd like to turn it back over to you now to continue your analysis and commentary. Without further ado,
I want to pick up on the thread you were talking about people may recognize that we occasionally repeat ourselves on this show, but the reason we have to repeat ourselves is that we are the only outlet speaking this truth about the American experience and about how we should react to the political movements of the day and the cultural movements of the day. Basically, what we represent is the common sense of the majority of the American people, but you hear that common sense expressed and validated on something like a radio program or in a newspaper so infrequently nowadays that we don't think we can repeat it enough. People like Glenn Beck, Sarah Palin, and the other stooges that they had at their rally last Saturday night are just examples of people that have been the victims of what Antonio Gramsci, one of the original and probably the most influential of the cultural Marxists, called transformational education. They've been educated not only in the public and, unfortunately, the private schools nowadays to embrace multiculturalism and diversity. they hear this and see it in the news. They hear it and see it when they go to academia, to college. They hear it and see it when they go to the movies, the entertainment industry. The long march through the institution has all been set to transform America, and the fact that people like Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin can't bring themselves to speak up for their own race and the interests, the obvious political interests of their own race, is the perfect example of the success of the cultural Marxist and the Trotskyites who were working hand in hand to transform America. They've done it. We've got to, if we're going to succeed as conservatives, we're going to have to be consistent. We're going to have to be truthful. And trying to say that conservatives were the big backers of the civil rights movement like Glenn Beck does, or that we had America owes its great debt of gratitude to the black founding fathers, and if it were not for the black founding fathers, the American project would never have gotten off the ground. These are palpable lies. We've got to remember that the Bible tells us the truth will set you free. You know, multiculturalism affects the message of Glenn Beck to such an extent that he can't even claim his Christian heritage or his Mormon heritage or whatever. He's got to have this universalist outlook where he wants to put everybody like Little Black Sambo. Remember the story Little Black Sambo? Everybody got under one big umbrella and went around a tree going nowhere together. Well, that's what you'll do if you go under the Big Ten or the big umbrella of Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin. You'll be marching around going nowhere together with a big crowd. I suppose his favorite hymn is Norman Greenbaum's little ditty from the 70s, Spirit in the Sky. You know, that's about the extent of his theology. There's a spirit in the sky. I don't know where. I don't know why. It's something up there. And, I'm a deist. He's a deist, but apparently doesn't ascribe or doesn't own any particular religion. And that's the way he tries to sell it. And if the American people don't see that as, you know, a betrayal of their heritage, then there's absolutely no hope for us. This idea that we've got to accommodate every foreign idea and every foreign religion in the world is just, you know, it shows essentially cowardice. You can't stand up for yourself. Now, worshiping at the shrine of Martin Luther King is just another symptom of the same disease, James, and that disease is multiculturalism. And if you can't purge multiculturalism from conservatism, it's going to be like a cancer that kills conservatism, because it is the mortal enemy of conservatism, James.
And the reason we continue to fight this retreating battle on all fronts, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, you pick your signature issue. Whatever issue it is across the political spectrum that motivates you to take action, could be any collection of those issues. We're fighting a retreating battle on them. You can't name one issue that we've gained ground on that's of importance within the last 60 years. And the reason for that is quite simple. Whites, European Americans, the founding stock of this nation, have no representation in government. They have no representation in academia. They have no leaders. And other than the political cesspool and a few organizations, a few small organizations like Council of Conservative Citizens and Western Voices, World News, and a few others, there's a few, American Renaissance, Alternative Right, you know, some of the websites I mentioned earlier, VDare, there are a few. We don't have representation. And we've got to come together and coalesce as a unique ethnocentric political movement, and we have got to begin to assert and advance our interests just like everyone else does. And listen, you know, because we want to do that, that doesn't mean that we don't want other minority groups to enjoy the same rights and privileges. We think everyone should be able to advance their self-interest, but the simple fact is, black people will never share our heroes. They will never share our heritage. Robert E. Lee will never be a hero of the minorities here in this country. That's just the way it is. But he will always be our hero, and he will only be our hero. And you could take it from there and apply that logic to any issue. You know, limited government, lower taxes, cutting out the fat of government, cutting down welfare. Never will minorities come on that. Illegal immigration. You think anybody besides white people are going to be for securing the borders? You think that the Mexicans of this supposed melting pot are going to be for that, the illegal aliens? Absolutely not. This is why we've got to come together as a racialist group like everyone else and demand the same level playing field. And Glenn Beck, you know, that's why he's never going to be a leader for our people. He doesn't see it through that sort of lens. And he is the universalist, as Keith said. He is the multiculturalist. And you can't be a multiculturalist and be a conservative. They don't go together.
It's an oxymoron like a holy sin or a Buddhist Christian. You just can't do that. You know, you're never going to see a black leader. You're never going to see a Mexican leader or Hispanic leader or one of these other Rainbow Coalition members sitting down and spouting off all this effusive praise for George Washington or Robert E. Lee, but you will see benighted and dazed and confused white people embracing Martin Luther King or Malcolm X or, you know, just name the black radical du jour, and that will all be able to measure our righteousness by how effusively we praise these people. And see, that's total nonsense. And it doesn't impress the other side. They don't see us as being good because of that. They see us as being weak and confused. And if you're weak and confused, well, you're just inviting someone to stick the dagger in. And we, quite frankly, with the demographic change that is happening in America, they say that white people will be the minority as early as 2042, that is the type of thing that ought to really wake you up. Once that happens, we're not going to expect and we're not going to receive the fair play that we have given to everyone else. We're not white supremacists. You know, we're the great egalitarians. We're the people that want equal treatment for us, because right now we don't. Don't get it. White people are not treated equally. Everyone else is a protected or preferred minority. They get affirmative action for attending prestigious schools and professional schools. They get affirmative action for jobs all the way from firemen to Supreme Court justice. And if we can't expect fair treatment, and if we can't even lobby for fair treatment, then we're a lost cause. So people need to wake up and smell the coffee, James.
They need to wake up and smell the coffee, and then they need to become a part of the solution. And there's many ways you can do that. You can support the few organizations that are out there that are actively fighting on the front lines of this culture war. We're one of them. We ask you to do that. Or you can get involved physically by joining up with an organization, by going out and being a political activist on the streets. There's many ways you can apply yourself if you so choose. Everyone needs to be a part of the solution. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more in the second hour right after this.
Right after these messages.
Harv leaped to his feet and says, "Something's got a hold on me." Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleeping little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, "Hallelujah!" Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.